excited where what God has been doing and what he's been saying, how he's been illuminating the scripture towards us. And so this evening, we're going to do a quick little recap on everything. Because if you, as I said last week, you got one side of truth, or I'm sorry, trust, and then the other side was faith. And you had to go to everybody's church to hear it. So if you didn't, weren't in both services, some of the stuff that they revere, I'm looking at, huh? So, over the past two or three weeks or so, we've been talking about trust. Because I can't get any further until we understand trust. Because once you understand trust, then when I get to verse 30, we're more than a conqueror, then you'll understand, oh, that's why I'm more than a conqueror. It's not just something that we say. We say that and play back. Hey, man, we got a game today. Well, hey, hallelujah. We got the basketball game. We're more than conquerors. We're going to win today. And we use it out of context. But now when you start putting your trust in him, now you can say, I am more than a conqueror. And it's going to make total sense. I'm going a little slow, and I want to make sure, yeah, I can continue, but I really do. I'm talking about my folks. I really care about you guys. I was sitting in my office this morning. I'm listening to some worship. I'm crying. I'm thinking, this is why I need you to trust me. I guess it's the white in me that I can't get too crazy. Keeps me a little calm. But I want you to understand how much I love you. And this is what, as I was just meditating on the word, I was just sitting with the Lord. But I had somebody call me this morning. I didn't feel kind of bad. I was a little harsh. Because I need you to get to a place where you trust God. Because here's the fact of the matter. Well, I'm starting to get a little crazy on this. One, I love you so much. I understand the responsibility. And I don't take for granted that I just come in. Hey, Dan, here's the word. You're more than a conqueror. And then you leave out thinking, well, I'm more than a conqueror. And you do dumb stuff, not understanding what that really means. And so I need folks to get to a point where they fully trust God. And this is what, as I was walking, the Lord showed me the end part of Tiffany. He showed me the end part of my kids. I saw a little glimpse of the end part of Deanne. I saw glimpses of Joe and Cindy. I saw glimpses of Nicole. I saw glimpses of Laura. And I was like, oh, oh. But I have an understanding that if you don't get trust, you're not going to get there. So I got to push and be a... I got to kind of be a jerk sometimes. And it might seem harsh. You might be like, dang, he's always yelling at me. What? Poor, especially my kids. And he's always yelling at us. And Aaron tells us no. It's because I expect. Because I see where you're going. And I want to make sure I do my part. That you have the understanding, the knowledge, the tools to get there. If you just want to tickle your ears, you can go to CBC, you can go to any of these other tracks. I can tell you something that will give you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. So maybe the folks that aren't here, maybe they should be happy they're not here today. Oh man, Josh is really in the mood today. And it's okay. My whole family probably thinks I'm crazy already as it is. And I'm okay with that. So we got to get to a place of trust. So the past couple of weeks we're talking on trust. And last week I talked on faith. And the functional distinction between faith and trust are sometimes misleading. Because we link in trust and faith as the same thing. But they're two distinct elements. They're two distinct sides of the same coin. And they must both be present for spiritual alignment. Faith is defined as the spiritual and intellectual conviction that God is who He says He is. It is the hypostasis, the substance, the foundation, and the ectros, the inner conviction that serves as evidence for the unseen. Mm-hmm. Now, trust is active surrender. Trust is not passive. It's not a passive state of mind, but a deliberate choice to place the full weight of one's life, security, and future upon God's character. So trust is not passive, but it's putting your full weight, your life, security, and future upon God's character. I'll give you an example. We like to use, when God tells us stuff, we like to give Him justification and excuses. Excuses are like armpits. We all got them. They all stink. And God tells us stuff, and we're like, well, that's not what I meant. Well, hang on, you don't know how it works down here. You're up there, and down here it works a little bit different. I gotta have money for my work. And we give God all these excuses. When He said, I don't need the excuses, I just need you to follow direction. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Darrell called me and said, Josh, I need you to do something in August. Tell you this is what I said. Yes, sir. I trust that you will prepare me for what I need to do in August. Now, most of the time, well, before I met Pastor Darrell, that was my, hey, well, I can't do this. It's always an excuse, or I didn't mean it that way. Now I had to put my trust in Pastor Darrell to prepare me for what I'm about to do. But in my mind, I didn't say it, but for a split second, it was, am I prepared? Am I ready enough? Because I know. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up on, y'all might know, Night at the Apollo. I grew up on Def Comedy Jam. When you bomb, when you do something that ain't right, what do you get? Boo! Get off the stage. So I was a little nervous because it's like, that's comedy. If you're booing somebody because they didn't make you laugh, I'm talking and I'm literally bringing the word of God that will help change people's lives. I can't mess this up.
Okay, sir.
So therefore, I just said, yes, sir, and I will trust you to prepare me for what I got to do. You have to be at a place with God where you have to say, God, I trust you with my whole life. Because I guarantee you, if I go in hot cock and I do what I want to do, I will get the boom. I'll get ran out of seat. Y'all know. I made that mistake last year. I'm like Adam and Eve. One time mess up, I will learn from that.
Go ahead, son.
So therefore, I need to make sure that I trust my teacher. We have to get to a place where you trust the Lord.
That's right, sir.
We have to get to a place where you trust your pastor. We have to get to a place that when God says, hey, I need you to do, there's no ifs, ands, as my dad would say, ifs, ands, or buts.
That's exactly right.
It's just, how high? Need you to jump, how high? So the difference is that faith is the conviction that the bridge is solid. Trust is the act of stepping onto it before it becomes visible. Now also, we talked about a little bit on how trust, looking at through a Hebrew lens, through a causative voice, that we must make the shift from passive observation to causative action. And this is explained through the Hebrew verb stem, hafel. Now we talked about last week the kel and the hafel dynamic. You see, the Hebrew root of amen is the kel or the simple, which means that God is firm and stable. However, the believer is called to the hafel form, hey amen, which means to treat as reliable or actively rest one's weight upon that firmness.
Right.
Trusting God is described as a hafel action where the believer initiates a posture of reliance. Everybody executed that and exemplified that today. You came in and you sat on that chair. Nobody was, I wonder if, no one questioned, no one said, hey, Joshua, this chair, hope they just came down and sat on down. And no chair has broken. So the hateful action is where the believer initiates a posture of reliance, such as practicing generosity before feeling secure. Has the Lord ever, I need you to go bless someone or give generously or do this. I don't even have money for food. I didn't ask you about that. I just asked, I need you to go. Faith is stepping out in generosity before your bank account says, hey, you're free to give. It is offering forgiveness before feeling like it. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. It's just offering forgiveness before you feel like it. And a lot of times, most of the time, if somebody really pisses you off, yeah, you don't feel like forgiving them for a while.
Jesus.
Trusting God is described in the hafel action, and we must posture that. True trust, the Hebrew word batash, involves a whole body release, similar to sitting in a hammock where you let go on your own grip and allow the structure to hold you. You ever sat in a hammock and you just, you let the hammock do all the work. You're not holding on to anything. You're not grabbing anything. You're just holding on. It's a little bit different. I was thinking about that. And when we were little, I think it was Asher. We went to the San Antonio Children's, not the Whitney Museum. And we were on the treehouse. Now, if you go to the third level, they have a graded floor. Okay? And you can look down and you can see everything down below. Now, for us who are old and have been on that, no problem. You just step out. I've been here before. And you go on to it. But poor Asher, come on, Asher, let's go to the edge. He's walking. Okay, I'm on solid ground. Whoa! As soon as he gets to that grade, I can see the bottom. Trust Daddy. No, I don't trust you. I see the bottom. Asher, come on. No, I mean, we're dragging him. He's crying. He was like, what?
He's only a year old.
Yeah, he's like a year old.
Wow.
But have you ever seen kids that they get to a place and they're like, they're just too scared because I see the bottom. I know you're telling me to trust you, but I see the bottom. I may be one, but I have enough sins that something don't look right here. This scares me. But you, because we just walk on it. We don't think about it. I mean, really think about it. You step out there. You don't really understand, hey, what if something was corroded and a beam fell down? We just trusted and got on. What if the construction guy had a bad day? You know what? I don't feel like putting rebarb into that. I'm going to cut some corners. We just walked on out. We trusted that it would hold our weight. So therefore, if we can do it for earthly things, which we all know are going to let us down, Why not do it for God who will never let you down? So we also talked about distrust. Now, if you look at trust, you have the word rust. Distrust is a spiritual corrosion that originated in the Garden of Eden. God said, you can eat whatever you want except that tree right there. I mean, I trust you, but I don't trust you. That tree looks really good. Anything but that tree. There was a distrust there. Sin entered into earth. And it continues to hinder the believer's relationship with God to this day. We say we trust God, but we really don't. We trust Him 90%. I'll give you this much trust, God, but then after that, I got a backup plan. That's not true trusting God. You can't trust God 99% of the time. You can't trust God 95%. It has to be 100%. So distrust is compared to rust or scum, a disease or sickness of the soul that creates an unyielding layer of filth. The rust acts as a resistance to God's power and must be removed from it must be removed through spiritual discipline, giving up our will. The remedy for that is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I read that whole 1 through 14. How do we overcome this distrust? It involves the active steps of humbling oneself, praying, seeking God's face, to move from a surface level view of Him to a deeper foundational reliance. See, if you've been raised in the church long enough with talk with the ones that go to the fluffy stuff, you just have a surface level of who God is. And He's saying, hey, I'm getting hurt because my people only know the surface part of me. But I'm so much deeper, but you won't go deeper. And then my shepherds won't even take you deeper. Jesus. You see the frustration God has? Biblical trust is the concept of throwing oneself down in a state of helplessness before a stronger power. Relinquishing the need to figure things out on one's own. The verse that we talked about was Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, trust. One, trusting is placing your full weight on God. Two, faith is the conviction. Trust is the response. And three, when trust is real, it holds in crisis, obedience, and in suffering. Trust, you're trusting whether it's good season, bad season, whether you're blessed, not blessed, whatever the sin, you're always trusting. It's easy to trust God when you just got your income tax. Listen, call it for how it's easy to trust Him then. You get that nice refund. Hey, I can trust God. You know what? Matter of fact, I trust Him so much, I'm going to give a little bit of extra offering this week.
All right.
I got a little extra from Uncle Sam. Hallelujah. But where is the trust when you ain't got it?
Say it, sir.
I'm having to live. I ain't saying it's nothing. I ain't living. Because guess what? This is year two of not having big income tax returns. Oh, it's there. It's just, it's not in my possession. When the government wants their stuff, they real quick. But when they got to give me my stuff, it's like, hey, man, we ain't letting go of this stuff. But I have to live in trust. Hey, Dad, I need this. I got you. Got to go to Georgia. Hey, I told everybody, we're going to Georgia. And matter of fact, since technically we don't have to be there the Wednesday, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not living myself.
Go ahead, sir.
Matter of fact, guys, since technically stuff don't start till Wednesday, we don't have to be there. Let's leave a couple days earlier. Let's go to Panama City Beach and let's go to the beach. Let's get a hotel. Let's have fun. You know what my bank account says? No. You stupid. I don't know how you're going to do this. Neither do I, but it's not my problem. God said go. Yes, sir. And I'm going with my family. It will be there. As a matter of fact, this is what I do know. It will be there when I need it. Plain and simple. So when trust is real, it holds in crisis obedience and suffering. So I ask you this. Examine yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Be honest about what you are really leaning on. Many believers say they trust God, but they still functionally are leaning on people. They're leaning on outcomes. They're leaning on their own control. Well, maybe if I get this raise, then maybe I can go do this. Oh, if I can go work at this job, then it will give me whatever, X, Y, or Z. Have you put your trust in man, or have you pushed your trust in the Lord? So ask yourself, what shakes me the most? Is it people's approval? Is it health? Is it plans changing? That often reveals where your trust actually is. Another thing, ask yourself. Move from agreement to surrender.
Go ahead, sir.
Trust is not a passive state of mind or mere intellectual argument, but an active, deliberate surrender.
Go ahead, sir.
How do we do that? Do not stop saying, I know God is good. Ask what decisions today proves I believe that. God is good. But then when I, hey, Deanne, God is good. But then Mr. O rolls in. Hey, you know what, Mr. O, man, I was a little struggling there, man. Hey, man, brother, God is good, but. But. Only things that but are goats.
Oh, my God.
And we're not supposed to be goats. We're supposed to be sheep.
Go ahead, sir.
All right.
So do not. Stop saying, I know God is good. And then you live contrary or speak contrary to what you've just said. Real trust shows up in obedience, patient prayer, repentance, and restraint. Another way, practice daily bread trust, not just big moment trust. Could you trust God enough for your daily bread? With the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Trust God one day at a time. Instead of demanding the whole future, bring today's needs to him. Just give one. Here's your portion. Live with your parsha. Your portion. Give us our daily bread. Trust grows when you keep coming to God for today's strengths, today's wisdom, and today's provision.
Say that, sir.
Deepen, ask yourself, deepen your view of God, because shallow views produce weak trust. I'll say that again. Deepen your view of God.
Go ahead, sir.
Because shallow views produce weak trust.
Go ahead, sir.
People do not trust God because they have only been presented a surface level view of him. And they don't know how deep he really is. Spend more time learning God's character from Scripture.
Go ahead, sir.
Not just asking him to fix a problem.
Say that, sir.
Give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all that you will give me. We act like God is our genie in a bottle. We come up with here for today, I need a car. Let's see, I need this. Stop bringing your problems.
Go ahead, sir.
Why don't you start getting to know him?
That's right, sir.
I mean, we were all married in here, except you young bloods in there. If I kept going to my wife and asking for things, but not getting to know her, I think there would be a little problem after a while. I'll have to think, I know. Hey, babe, it's been a while. Hey, I need you to go do this. I need food. I need clothes. I need this. But I don't get to know her. I don't ask, hey, I don't need nothing. What do you need? Hey, can you tell me? I don't operate in a relational status. It's just transactions. That's how a bunch of folk treat God. It's a transactional only. God, I need X, Y, and Z, but they don't want to get to know him. So spend more time learning God's character from Scripture, not just asking him to fix the problems. The deeper you know his holiness, faithfulness, wisdom, and mercy, the easier it is to rest in him. It gets a whole lot easier when you understand who he is. Let faith become action. Faith and trust are two sides to the same coin. And you cannot have one without the other. So therefore, faith is not complete when it stays in the mind. It becomes movement. If you believe God's word, then forgive, obey, wait, give, pray, endure, and keep following Christ.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you see the movement?
Go ahead, sir.
In other words, examine where your weight is. Surrender what you are trying to control. Trust God for today. Know God more deeply through his word, and obey what you already know. We apply this by no longer calling agreement trust. I'm going to say that again because I need you guys to get this. We apply this by no longer calling agreement trust, but by placing the weight of our lives on God, seeking him for daily bread and obeying him when we do not see the outcome. Now, did you hear that I said agreement? Biblically, agreement and trust are not the same thing. I can say, let's see here, let me just, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who is all in agreement with that? We're all in agreement. But trust is something totally different. Agreement is saying that is true. Trust is saying because that is true, I will rest myself on God and obey him. A simple way to say it like this. Agreement is acknowledgement. Trust is reliance. I'm still in Romans. I'm getting there. So a person can agree that God is real, that Jesus is Lord, or that the Bible is true and still not actually yield to God. I mean, let's just use a perfect example. All of us were young at one point in time. That means that you had a parent that told you not to do something. I don't need you to stay out this late. Don't hang out with these friends. They're there. And you probably say, yeah, Mom, I got you. I agree. And what do? You go hang out with that person. You go stay out past you. You do all this stuff, even though you said, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree to that person. I've said it. As I'm saying it right now, I'm thinking of the conversation. Man, Holy Spirit is bringing up conversation to have with my mom about certain friends. Told them not to hang out with them. Yeah, I agree with you. They do smoke dope and do all this stuff. But yeah, I still want to go hang out with them.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So an agreement just says that is true.
Go ahead.
But trust is saying, because it is true, I will rest myself on God and obey Him.
Go ahead, sir.
Excuse me. So a person can agree that God is real, that Jesus is Lord, or the Bible is true, and still not yield. And James 2:19, it says, thou hast believed that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. This shows us that mere belief in a fact is not the same as saving, living trust. Demons agree with truth, but they do not trust God. Trust leans the heart and life on God. Trust is more than accompanying information. It is dependence. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice the contrast. Trust versus leaning on your own understanding. So trust means you stop putting your weight on yourself and place it on the Lord. I was telling Pastor Darrell, man, when I was little, my dad hammered Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 into me. I do something stupid. Hey, Josh, stop leaning on your own understanding. You don't know. Stop leaning. I mean, that's what he would tell me. All I do something dumb. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop leaning. But no, I got that. And then all hell breaks loose. And I'm asking for a life preserver. Please help me. Stop leaning on your own understanding. I was, I remember I needed some money for something. And I thought, you know what? I had some speakers. I'm going to go sell these speakers. I was leaning on my own intellect, understanding what I can take these speakers. I can go to a pawn shop, and I'm good. So I'm driving down, and I'm in Agora Park, right there in the form. And then the dude, ha, 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 pulls up beside me, honking his horn. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to get into a fight. My buddy Kelvin, Kevin is with me. And the dude, well, hey. Roll down your window. I roll down my window. He says, hey, I got some speakers. I'll sell them to you. Kevin looked at me. You know him? I said, nah. I said, you know him? He said, I don't know this dude. He said, $500. Well, I do need some money. If I get these speakers, I can take them to a pawn shop, and I can get more than what I bought them for. So, old boy rode with me to... I don't have Jaden's anointing. Boy, went with me to the ATM, punched out, took out about $500, gave them to the guys, threw those speakers in, brand new in the box. Yeah, I thought I was gold. Go through the first pawn shop. Man, I'm excited. Boy, I'm about to, my boy, the guy's like, yeah, these are really great speakers. I mean, you can probably sell these for $1,000, yada, yada, yada. Get to the pawn shop. Pull both the speakers, big old, this is back in the day when you had the tower speakers, you know. Took up the whole back seat, and I thought, I was like, yeah, this, I don't know this company, but the guy said they're selling it, put them on the thing. The guy looked at me, left down. Boy, I ain't gonna give you a couple bucks for that.
Oh my God.
I said, no, man, these are like Sony, man. These have got to be a couple thousand dollars. He said, you know what, sir? And this is my boy, Kay. He was a brother. So you know brothers, you know black folk. Once he heard the bad news, he went in the corner and started laughing. He said, yeah, a lot of folks have been bringing these in, getting ripped off by people. They ain't nothing. They're worth nothing. You might as well take them back. I look at Kevin. He's laughing. In the corner, just laughing. He's like, man, Josh, you got $500 gone.
Jesus.
I leaned on my own understanding, thinking, hey, there's a quick win, a get-rich-quick scheme. I was leaning up, and I remember telling my dad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what happened to your money? Oh, man, you know, Dad, this is what happened. It stinks, doesn't it? Yeah. Hurts being robbed, yeah. Stop thinking you know everything. Stop leaning on your understanding. He said, be smarter about stuff. You should have just came and asked me. Yes, sir. So therefore, we got to stop leaning on our own understanding because we think we know, but we really don't know. We didn't create Jack. God created everything, but for whatever reason, we think we can tell him what to do. Hey, God, I know you created the earth. I didn't create my body, but I think I need to do this. I know you created everything. I'm going to do it my way. Come, stop leaning on your own understanding. Funny story, golly. Agreement can exist without obedience. Trust produces obedience. So when Scripture speaks of real faith, it shows itself in action. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark. In verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. They did not merely agree with God's word, they acted on them. That is trust.
Amen.
So in plain language, agreement says, I believe God can. Trust says, I am going to depend on him now.
My God.
Agreement says, God's word is true. Trust says, because his word is true, I will obey it even when I don't understand.
Okay, sir.
Let me read that again. And as I was writing this out, this is what the Lord said. This is where Christians fail. He said, this is where people fail. This is where church folk fail. Because his word is true, I will obey it even when I don't understand. Christian folk, we don't understand, so we don't obey. God, why? We ask 5,000 questions.
My God.
What is this? Who, what, when, why, where? God's like, just do it.
Let's do it.
So even with my own children, you obey even when you don't understand. That doesn't make sense. Good example, Jaden didn't do anything necessarily bad yesterday, but I'm going to use him anyways. Because his mug is right there and I saw him. So we go to Costco. Never go to Costco on Good Friday. And everybody, good Lord. I had sausage. I walked to the cash registers. I looked. I said, the line is back in the clothes. I saw one gentleman. Are you in line? Yeah, are you in line? He looked at me. I said, sir, I'm putting my stuff back. I ain't waiting here. But here's the point. We ordered pizza because Jaden had to go somewhere with Gam and all of them. So I knew I had to get them over at a certain time. So we got pizza. He goes up before me, gets the pizza, gets his own stuff. Now, again, I'm using him as an example. He didn't necessarily do anything bad. He was just trying to help. But then I got frustrated with him. I said, hey, follow directions. I didn't ask you to go do that. Well, I did. Because here's the point. Everything that you bought, I would have bought for you. That's the point. We do that with God. We try to do stuff in our own. Hey, I'm trying to beat you to it. And God's like, you just sent me. I would have took care of it.
Jesus.
You didn't have to spend your own resources.
My God.
Now you're broke. Now you're in pain. Now you're this because you didn't want to listen.
Jesus.
And that's all I was trying to tell Jaden. Jaden, I had this. I would have got you your smoothie. I would have got that pizza. Whatever you wanted. I'm dad. And that's what Papa God does.
My God.
He's like, I'm dad. I'm going to take care of you. Quit jumping the gun, going all half-cocked, thinking like you know what you're doing. You get that, Jaden? Wasn't mad. I just want you to understand. I'm dad. I want to take care of you. You didn't need to use your resource. Use it on something else. That was all. Everybody thought, Dad's mad at everybody. No! I just wanted to bless my son, but he operated outside the will. Agreement says, Jesus is enough. Trust says, then I will stop leaning on my own strength, wisdom, or control. So ask yourself this. Do I only say God is faithful, or am I actually resting in His faithfulness? Do I only agree with His promises, or am I ordering my life by them? That's why Proverbs 3:5 is so important. Trust is not just believing a statement, it is leaning. So to summarize, agreement and trust, agreement accepts truth, trust entrust yourself to the God of that truth. There we go. Everyone wants to know why God gets upset with them. It's because here's the problem. Everybody agrees with my truth, but they don't want to trust my truth. That's hot off the press today. So let me ask you this. If God be for us, who can be against us? We all agree on that truth, correct? But do you actually believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? Let me go a little bit more. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We all agree with that. But do you trust it? It says God shall supply all your needs. Doesn't supply wants, He supplies needs. You know what's the great thing? When He supplies the needs, you start to see those wants that you need, I didn't really need that. I'm good. God has taken care of my needs and all of my wants. They were taken care of, either taken care of, or I just didn't need them. Nah, I didn't need them anymore. They were just wasting my time. They were just fluff. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We all agree with that, but do you trust that? For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We all agree with that, but do you really trust it? I'll give you one more, and I'm going to get to Romans. And I'll actually read the whole chapter for you. Because we all know this. We've all said, ain't no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We've all said that. God being for us, who can be against us? The Lord shall. These are all scriptures.
Go ahead, son.
This is the word of God. This is His little word. He's saying this. And we agree with it, but do you trust it? Let me give you another one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down, in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall flow through me, with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you really believe and trust that? Yes, Pastor, then why are you acting stupid all the time? Why are people still calling me? I believe what God says in the same statement. Well, I'm not there, or I'm not ready, or I...
Go ahead.
Well, only
Pastor John, go ahead.
Starting to understand why Pastor Dale gets frustrated all the time. They don't want to act right.
My God.
And then I got to be the man to come and say something to you. Agreement stands safe on the shore. examines the compass. It verifies the coordinates and nods in approval that it faithfully points north. It is a matter of intellect. Trust steps into the floodwater. It does not merely applaud the accuracy of the compass. It sets sail in the storm, resting the entirety of the voyage in the hands of the captain. So when we merely agree, we retain this rhythm. We agree, illusion of control. Illusion of control. And y'all really thought, I'm out of control, I'm going to do it this way. It's an illusion. We praise and do the promises without ever actually relying on them with a foundation shake. We love it. God's for us. We call all these scriptures. We praise the Father, we praise Jesus. When the foundation starts to shake, all goes out the window. But true, living faith is the active fulfillment of the command. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto your own understanding. The apostles weren't asking questions. I look at Paul and stuff. He just did it. He put his trust in God. He put trust in God. If you trust in God and rely on him, then I won. I trust in God. But if you can't do that, then you're at the wrong place. You're on church. I'll preach. Don't get it right. Anybody else at home with it, they're going to be left behind. I ain't talking about that movie. You will be left behind. Now, all that said, that was your view. Giving it out. This is the team. Now that we understand, now last week we talked about the weight of words. Now that you understand that grammar is vitally important to the text, we're going to keep on rolling with the word shall. Now, word translation shall comes from youmen. And it is a future indicative of lego. Me, we will say. So Paul is not asking a question. He is issuing a rhetorical challenge. A triumphant question dressed as a question. The shall carries a deliberative force, meaning in light of everything just said, what are we compelled to draw? So starting in verse 1, to verse 30, Paul builds up this case of why God is so good, why you can trust him, why you can take that check to the bank and it won't bounce. And all of this, what do you got to say about this?
Go ahead.
And what it does is it invites the listener to reason together with Paul. The shall is anchored to everything proceeding in Romans 8. Paul is essentially saying, given all of this, no condemnation, the Spirit who raised Christ lives in you, we are co-heirs with Christ, all things work together for the good, the golden chain of foreknown, predestined, called, justified, glorified. After all of this, the shall forces a pause. What shall we say to these things? It causes us to stop and consider the weight of what has just been said. I started this in like July, August. I'm just portion. If you haven't figured out the weight of what Paul is saying, woo, you missed it. You see, who can be against us is not, a naive question. Paul knows enemies exist. The point is that no one opposes us, but that no opposition matters when God is for us. So the shall frames this as a settled logic, not wishful thinking. It's the language of covenant certainty. God's posture towards his people has been declared. And the proper response is a confident reasoning from that reality. The shall is an invitation to stand on finished ground. Paul doesn't say, hope that God is for us. He says, reason from the fact that he is.
My
Our confidence is not self-generated boldness, but logical inference from the character and action of God. So the question answers itself. If the omnipotent is your advocate, every opposing force, sin, suffering, accusations, death, is outranked before they can even speak. After all this evidence that has been laid out, Paul asks the question, if God be for us, who can be against? Now, the word if is spelled E-I. It introduces what Greek grammars called a first-class conditional. It's a construction that assumes the condition to be true for the sake of argument. So, this is not the if of uncertainty. Paul's not saying, well, if God is for us. He is saying, so if the if is not uncertainty, Paul is not saying, if God happens to be for us, we hope he is. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, if God. God is for us, and he is. If God for us, and he is,
yes. That's good,
then
sir.
What follows must be concluded.
Go ahead, sir.
You see, this is why I like Paul. Woo! Paul is a master communicator.
My.
He doesn't just shout the truth at people. And this is what I learned about Pastor Darryl. This makes sense what he was saying to you today. Paul is a master communicator, and he doesn't just shout the truth to people. He helps them figure it out for themselves. By starting with if, he makes his reader walk through a logic step by step until they realize the truth on their own. It's a way of making the message stick to the heart instead of just hitting their ears.
Go ahead, sir.
So as Pastor Darrell said to you, he says, I asked him a question. He says, let me show you.
Go ahead, sir.
I looked it for myself.
Go ahead.
Started to cry. God dang, you were totally right.
Love it. I love it.
Because Paul, Pastor Darrell, they're not just telling me where it goes in my ear. But he's making, Paul's making us go through the text. And he's making us read line upon line from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. No condemnation. Life in Christ. To where we get to where we're at in verse 30, where we can make a logical conclusion and say, holy smokes!
That's right.
That's what God did for me! And it's more impactful than him just saying, hey guys, this is what happened. The more times that Pastor Darrell said, hey, Josh, go look it up. I go read it. It's so much more powerful. And I remember it. Oh, that's what that means. And he usually like, hey, 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 yeah. Y'all know. And I'm just like, oh. So, the if also functions as a hinge. It takes everything proven from verses 1 to 30 and converts it into the premise of or for the argument that's about to unfold through 31 through 39. That's why I'm stuck on trust right now. I can't move past trust because this is the hinge. You got to understand the first portion or the last portion won't make sense. So then the rest of it continues. You have God, ho theos in Greek. Paul uses the definite article, the God, not merely a God. This is not a generic divine favor. This is the covenant God of Israel, the creator, the sovereign one, the one who declared his name to Moses, who parted the Red Sea, who raised Jesus from the dead. The weight of for us cannot be abstracted. Paul is not offering religious optimism. He is pouring into a specific name, a specific acting God whose track record fills through the whole scriptures.
Yes.
It's just not a God, this God, it's the God. Not Muhammad, not Krishna, not Buddha, the God. And then once he puts, first he puts us up, the God. Then from the God, before us. Ooh. You see, the preposition for us is a Greek word hyper. It carries the core meaning of over, above, or on behalf of. It is the same word Paul uses throughout his letters. Christ died for us. In other words, if I read it, it would read, Christ died over us, in our place, for our benefit. So when Paul says God is for us, he is not saying God merely likes us or roots for us from a distance. Rah, rah, shish, goomba. He is saying God is positioned over us. Sovereignty above every circumstances. He's actively advocating for us. And what does that mean? As a defense attorney stands for his client. substitutionally invested in us, having already given his son hyper for us. So the God who is for us has already proven it on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. We're at Resurrection Sunday. So the for us of verse 31 cannot be separated from the for us of the giving of Christ in verse 32. The cross is the irreversible evidence of God's posture. So the God before us, then Paul says, who can be against us? Notice the deliberate contrast in these prepositions. At first, when he's talking about God, it's the preposition for us, hyper. And the direction is over or for us. But then when Paul moves to opposition, it's the Greek word keta, which means against us. So Paul sets for us or hyper against keta. These are opposites in Greek spatial and relational logic. Whatever stands keta against us must reckon with the one standing over us. I want to say that again. So therefore, whatever stands against us must deal with the one standing over us. Don't want to be that guy. Then he says, tis. That is who. It is the indefinite pronoun that sweeps broadly. Paul does not say nothing can be against us. He says who. And this is what's exciting.
Go ahead, sir.
He says it's who. This is a personal challenge. In other words, Paul is saying, step forward, name yourself, declare your opposition. Paul lists the candidates in verse 35 through 39. Here's the who. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come.
Jesus.
He said, who?
My God.
Y'all step up to the plate. And here's the thing. None of them have an answer. None can answer the challenge. Because none of them can undo what God did for us.
That's right, sir.
So, Paul, the question is rhetorical and triumphant, and I'm almost done. Give me 5 minutes, and I'm going to get us out. The question is rhetorical and triumphant. It expects no answer because there is no significant answer. So if we have sense or assumed as fact, the God, that's the specific covenant acting God, for us, that is, he is over us on our behalf, proven on the cross. Who is against us? A rhetorical challenge with no worthy answer. The verse is essentially saying, what Paul is saying, the math has already been done. The case already declared. Reason from what God has done, not from what you face. I'll say it like this. You do not need to figure out how it ends. God already has. Your only assignment is to live from what he has settled, not from what you are still facing.
Go ahead, sir.
And that's all you get this week.
My God.
If you want to know the rest, you got to come back next week.
My God. Thank you.
You see, today we looked at the verses through a Greek lens.
Go ahead, sir.
Next week, yeah, you better be here next week. Ooh. I'm trying not to say, I want to say some stuff now because it's so good. But next week, we're going to look through it through a Hebrew lens. And I'll show you the contrast between the Greek Western mind and how it differs from the Hebrew mind.
Go ahead, sir.
You see, we have all been conditioned to think and read the scriptures a certain way.
Go ahead, sir.
We read this. If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to show you an example. I'm going to read everybody's minds. But I'm going to tell you how you Westerners, you Gentiles, have read that scripture. And you're going to look at it. Dang, I sure do. It's going to mess up. So you got to come. I'm telling you, you got to come next week. Because we have to get our minds out of the condition of looking it through Western eyes. Because when you look through the Western eyes, you miss so much. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That us word, it's very powerful. The Greek lens is powerful. But through the Hebrew lens, it's going to be mind-altering. So, if you weren't here today, you're watching a lot, you better come next week. It's going to be good. And you're going to see God in another light, and you're going to see why the Hebrews relate to God in a different way than we do. Did everybody get that? Did everybody have an understanding?
Yes.
Good. Good.
Let's pray, and then we're going to get out of here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word and we thank you for you. Father, forgive us for not truly putting our trust in you. Father, I ask that today going forward that we would totally lean our full weight on you. Lord, help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to lean and to trust on you. Father, give us traveling graces as we go home. Prepare our hearts as we go to church tomorrow, this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. Father, I ask today that even as we are having our service here, that you are already speaking to Pastor Daryl and that you would prepare the hearts of the people that are there tomorrow to receive a word from the throne. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that everything that Paul said, what can we say to these things?
Okay.
Lord, we thank you that there's no condemnation. We have life in Christ. We thank you for being justified, predestined, glorified. We thank you, Lord, that the groaning, Lord, we just are in awe of who you are. Who is man that you are mindful of us? Lord, we love you, we thank you, and in the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
All right. Same time, same place next week. And then the following week we'll have our family Saturday. So next week, I'm going to go for it next week.